Welcome to AssertSoftwareQuality.com AudioCast, Accelerating Agile Testing with Computer-Assisted Tests. Our speaker is software tester and blogger Matt Heuser. This event is being hosted on AssertSoftwareQuality.com. My name is Jan Stafford, and I'm your moderator and executive editor of AssertSoftwareQuality.com. Thanks for joining us, Matt. Could you tell our listeners a bit about your software testing background?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Jan. I actually started in software development as a developer writing code, and I was always concerned about the outcome. Does my software work at least well enough? Is it fit for use? And we didn't have the luxury of having full-time testers and the benefit of having full-time testers, so I had to both develop and test. I was very insecure about this, so I went to school at night, got my master's in CIS, and eventually, while I was doing that, I realized that I actually liked the process of this grand adventure of trying to figure out if the software fits for use, and I wanted to be very good at it. And eventually, that became my career path, and I've been here ever since.
Thanks, Matt. For our listeners, if you have any problems with the sound or quality of this audio cast, please write to us at editor@searchsoftwarequality.com, and our tech support team will get in touch with you within 24 hours. Now let's get started with our interview. So, Matt, you said that test automation isn't really possible. Could you explain that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to bring up. When you look at what a tester, a skilled tester, actually does, he sits down and tests some software. Say I'm going to test Amazon.com, and I've got a requirement that a book has to be ordered, needs to be processed within 10 seconds of clicking the submit button. And I might run through that test and see that, yeah, it takes 9.5 seconds, but it works. So we can automate that business process, and we can have the computer say, yes, green check mark, it worked, green bar. A skilled tester, for example, might say, yeah, it works, but a human being waiting 9 seconds for this to come up is probably going to click the submit button again. What happens if I click this thing twice in a row? Ah, I get 2 books in the mail, right? That's a bug. It's not a bug that comes from any requirements document or any test plan. The tester learned about the software as he went through the process of testing it, and we can't get computers to do that. So looking at testing as a straightforward business process that's easily automated is not actually looking at what real testers do.
Okay, so what about test-driven development, automated unit tests?
I do think those have a place. I think that test-driven development was wonderful in terms of improving quality, improving time to market, providing capabilities for developers to change their software. And when you look at a unit of code, very small, independently isolated item. The developer knows how it's going to be called, knows how it's going to be used, and he can look at every little piece of that unit before and after his call. So I think that the test-driven development and unit tests have a place. I think you could probably call that test automation. That'd probably be fair. The mistake we make is when we say, oh, since test-driven development was so great at the unit level, we must automate our whole process all the way across. Where we go meta and say, well, then, since it worked in this small instance with these isolated units, let's try to automate the entire process. I think that's where we kind of go off the rails often.
Okay. So you referred to test automation as a meme, M-E-M-E. Can you expand on that?
Sure, yeah. There's a guy named Christopher Dawkins. He wrote a book called The Selfish Gene 25 years ago, very popular nonfiction. He said that some ideas stick for one reason or another culturally. You know, you look at a Norman Rockwell painting, and that's going to be around for a very long time. It's an icon of Americana. And these icon, these memes can be all over the place. There's another book, Made to Stick, I think is one, for instance. And when you think about software testing and test automation, If you say those words in the same sentence to a developer, what do developers do? Right? Since we started the first computer, ENIAC, we have been automating straightforward processes. ENIAC was used to calculate the distances that an artillery shell could travel during World War II. Then we automated payroll systems. Then we automated accounting systems. That's what developers do. So every year, there are new graduates, fresh young minds, straight out of Carnegie Mellon, straight out of University of California, Berkeley, and they graduate with their computer science degrees, and they hear the word testing and automation in the same sentence, and they run off and they do a bunch of stuff. And 3, 4, 5 years later, they come back and say, well, here are some lessons learned. Gee, testing is an exploratory process, and we need to have a balanced breakfast. In that way, I think the idea is sticky. I'm not sure that's good.
So do you recommend test automation at all?
Well, I think I mentioned it earlier. I think there are pieces of the testing job that are important to do, that need to be repeated, that aren't very interesting. You might call them checking, right? And I think that if you can get the computer to do the checking work, then that can free up some of your time to do the real critical investigation. So the term I like to use is a balanced breakfast. You know, yes, we're going to have the computer do some of our checking for us, because the amount of scenarios we have to run through every 2 weeks to release Agile software, it's a lot. But we're not going to rely on that. We don't trust the green bar. We don't see the green bar and sort of turn our brain off and go, well, I don't have to worry about risk anymore. That's when the tester takes over and the computer stops. That's when the tester gets engaged, in my mind.
Okay. Now, can you tell us more about the various kinds of test acceleration in Agile?
Sure. So what I'm going to be talking about is customer-facing testing, tests that you can show to a customer and they could say, okay, I understand, that makes sense, as opposed to developer-facing, the sort of TDD stuff, which is all straight code. So there's two popular strategies with customer-facing tests. One is record playback, where you have the computer drive your user interface, press a bunch of buttons, and then record a picture. And then it compares it to a previous picture and says, oh, they're the same, everything's fine. There's a number of commercial tools that do that. I think we're going to talk about that some other time soon. Another one is called keyword-driven. And in keyword-driven, you simply click buttons and links, one after the other. Click this link, click that link, click that link. Look for this result. Press submit, look for that result. And it only looks for the things you specifically tell it to. So the problem with record playback, of course, is that something could change that would be just fine. It would throw an error. And the problem with keyword-driven is that something could change that's a problem, but you didn't tell it to look for it, so it doesn't find it. Those are the two most popular. There are also other kinds of test automation. One which isn't very popular, but I particularly like, is called model-driven, where you actually code up a model of how you expect the software to work in the different logical paths. And the computer program picks random paths to walk and selects random input to send in and somehow knows what to expect on the way out and then records the path it takes. And as soon as it finds an error, it flags it and puts it in a record. So you could have model-driven testing run overnight. And you could come in the next morning and look at all your test results that were odd, which is a lot closer to that thinking tester, if you think about it, than some of these other click this, click that techniques. There's something called monkey testing, where you just have it pick completely random things and record what it does and wait for it to blow up. The software usually eventually does. And then you can play those back. So that'll find sort of memory leaks and things like that. But in terms of the business logic, it's not able to test the business logic of the application. And finally, we talked about test-driven development. I'm not really going to cover that because it's a developer technique. There are lots of little tools you can use to automate what you're doing as a tester, like to generate random large strings that tell you how long they are, which is more like the chainsaw where you're still driving. You know, if you've got an automated setup that creates a very complex test environment that you can go explore, that you can build quickly, like a open function almost, is that automation? Yeah, but the human being is still driving the software. So those are a few of the more common techniques we can use, which can have a place in helping us do agile development and agile delivery of software on tighter schedules than a traditional environment might be able to pull off.
Well, thanks, Matt, and thanks for talking with me today.
That's my pleasure, Jan. Thanks for having me.
That concludes today's SearchSoftwareQuality.com audiocast on accelerating agile testing with computer-assisted tests. This is Jan Stafford signing off. Have a great day.